If you've ever had questions like that, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Do my prayers matter when I pray? Does something happen or does nothing happen? What if you've ever thought that? Does God hear me when I pray? Does he respond to me when I pray? It's been a good month of prayer, of being in the boiler room, of listening to other people preach about prayer, Kels and Andrew Anderson. And then today I need to bring this all to a close and just to kind of wrap up our month of prayer. One thing has been abundantly clear for me as we've been going through this month. And it's a quote that I shared on the very first Sunday when I started our month of prayer, and it goes like this. Have we got that up there? Thanks, Reese. The greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. You might remember me sharing that right in the beginning. And I want to say that prayer really matters. God really does respond to our prayers. But the challenge is that often we don't pray. Often we don't take that step and say, Lord, I'm going to offer this to you in prayer. I want to go to the book of Joshua this morning. I just want to give you a quick background of where we are in the story with the people of Israel. We're at that moment where the people of Israel are about to go into the promised land. A lot has happened for these folk. They started by landing up in exile in Egypt. They had that disagreement with Pharaoh, and God was involved, and there was the 10 plagues. Eventually, Pharaoh said, okay, off you go. I don't want you in Egypt anymore. They wandered out of there with lots of possessions, more than they had to start with. They got to the Red Sea. The Red Sea parted. They walked along dry land. The sea came in behind them, swallowed up the Egyptians. They had some problems again. It took them 40 years to get to the promised land. But now Moses has looked out over the promised land. That's all he was able to do. He didn't enter the promised land. Joshua takes up the mantle of leader of the people of Israel, and that's where we are in this moment in this story. Joshua 3, 14 to 17. This is the word of the Lord. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the sea of the Arabath, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So picture this for a moment. There's this huge number of people that are about to go into the promised land. Joshua's briefed them the day before. Tomorrow we go into the promised land. And there's this moment where they're going to do it. They get to the Jordan River and now they must cross it. They've seen this miracle of water being parted once before, and they get to the Jordan. You'll notice in the scripture, Joshua 3:15, it says, now the Jordan is at a flood stage all during harvest. I don't know what you picture the Jordan River looking like, but we all have a different picture in our minds. If I say they're about to cross a river, you might go, oh, I remember seeing a river. Yeah, I know what a river looks like. If you say, what's a river in flood? You might have a picture that you've seen of a river in flood. But I wanted to just help you understand what is happening in this moment. So I've got a very short clip of the River Jordan in flood with dramatic music. With dramatic music. With dramatic music. And that was that. We did try this before the service, and it was so dramatic that the projector decided it couldn't do it. Okay. Well, let me explain what the video clip looked like. It's not like just a little trickle, but the clip that I have is a clip that was taken at the place where the people crossed over. And they crossed over just close to Jericho. So that we know where this place is geography. It sits in a place. And as you see this water churning, it's about, I guess, 15 or so meters wide, and it's rapids. Now, the important thing to remember about this story is that God didn't say, get ready to cross, and then I'm going to stop the water, and then you can walk. He said, walk into the water to take the promised land. And it was the moment that the first priest who's carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as his foot touches the water, that's when the water stopped flowing. We want to have it the other way around. We want the water to stop flowing, walls to be built, tar to be laid, before we're willing to walk. But that's not how God works. God very often says, take the step. Imagine being one of those priests about to walk into this raging river. Remember, they didn't hear God themselves. Joshua heard God. And he said to them, guys, this is what's going to happen. It's a great plan. You walk into the water. A little bit like the pastor, hey? It's a great plan. You guys go. But that's what happened. They didn't hear the audible voice of God. Joshua did, and he said, guys, this is what's going to happen. They needed to trust him that he had heard from God. But it's at that moment, as they put their foot into the water, that's when the water stops flowing. And that, I think, is where we need to be challenged as Christians. We often don't take the step until we believe the conditions are absolutely right. God, this is what I want you to do. And as soon as X, Y, and Z is in place, I'm jumping in. And often God is saying, no, no, take the step. The water stopped flowing only as their feet touched it. What about this moment in Matthew 14:22-30? You will know this story. I'm reading it from the Message this morning, so it'll be a little bit different. As soon as the meal was finished, he insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. So this is Jesus. With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them, and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. A ghost, they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to confront them. Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter, suddenly bold, said, Master, if it is really you, call me to come to you on the water. He said, come ahead. Here's old Peter. We love Pete, eh? Peter? Yeah. No, he doesn't. No, he jumps. Hey, jumping out the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. See, guys, come to me. Oh, there's not a pontoon. There's no bits of wood floating on barrels that I can walk across. I only know that God is going to do this as I put my foot off the boat into the water. I think that's why it was Peter, because he was the hyper kid, you know. I'm sure if there's an ADD person in the Bible, this is it. He doesn't always think, he just jumps right in. And fortunately so, because I think that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take the step that he's calling us to take. What about this story? David is on the battlefield. We'll backtrack a bit. He's not yet on the battlefield. There's a moment where David needs to make a decision to stand up against Goliath. Did he know that he would beat Goliath? Well, it was about faith at the end of the day. Him stepping onto the battlefield with the stones and the sling, he only knew that he would have victory at the moment that he did have victory. He had to step out. He trusted God, and he had a lot of faith, more than most, but he only knew at that moment. There was a moment where suddenly he went, this is it. I'm not going to go back like everybody else. I'm not going to stay back. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to go and face Goliath. What about Noah and the ark? This was a big step, Noah and the ark. Noah is told by God, build an ark. He hears the audible voice of God. He builds an ark. This was a big step because it took him a little while. It wasn't like stepping out of a boat or stepping into the Jordan River or maybe walking onto a battlefield. To build an ark was a very big undertaking. But he took it. Even though he was ridiculed, even though people laughed at him and joked with him, he said, that's fine. I'm going to do this. The step I'm taking is to build this huge big boat. But there's no clouds in the sky. There's not going to be any rain. I'm going to build the boat because God said I must build the boat. He didn't build the boat when the floodwaters started to rise and say, whoo, now I've got to do something. He took the step. God said, take the step. And then he saw how God worked in his life. What about the disciples? There's a moment when they were fishermen. Some of them were fishermen. And there was another moment where they were not fishermen. And we are so, so thankful that they said, yes, I will follow you. When Jesus said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, they didn't go, actually, I'm loving this fishing thing. I'm just going to carry on like this. No, no, they trusted him. They followed him and he did make them fishers of men. They changed the world because of the call Jesus had on their life. We're called to do the same. In big ways, ox, Jordan rivers. In small ways, we're called to do the same. I'm not sure if you know this, but we sang that song, It Is Well With My Soul, written by Horatio Spafford. Horatio was a very wealthy businessman. In the Chicago fire, most of his wealth was gobbled up. He was a real estate tycoon. Most of his wealth was gobbled up. His son, who was a baby, died of scarlet fever. And a few years later, he said to his family, we're just going to take a trip overseas. We're going to go on a boat trip somewhere in Europe. And they decided on England. And at the very last moment, Horatio couldn't make the boat. He said, guys, you go ahead of me. I will come and be with you. And that boat was struck by another ship and sank. And he lost his four daughters in that moment. And his wife sent him a telegram back from England. The words on that telegram were, saved alone. And then he wrote that song, it is well with my soul. That was his step. He could have stopped and said, well, that's it. There is no God. Many people blame God for those kinds of things. Many people wrestle with God at those moments, rightfully so. But his next step was to write the song, it is well. It is well with my soul. And you'll now kind of recognize some of the lines in that song. When sea billows roll, is speaking about that fateful moment when he lost almost his whole family. That was his step. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, in the New International Version, it says, for we live by faith, not by sight. Some of the other translators have used the word walk. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's about taking a step when God calls us to take the step. And if we're totally honest with ourselves, there have been moments when God has said, this is your step. And we might not have taken the step we were supposed to have taken. I know in my own life there have been moments where I've thought, is this God telling me to do something? Oh, maybe not. Come on, God, you know, bigger sign, pot the water first. But in actual fact, God sometimes is just waiting for us. He calls us to something. He's just waiting for us to do that very first movement, that very first step, and then he jumps in. Our scripture from the month of prayer, John 7:37-38. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Let anyone who's thirsty come to me. Again, it's about taking a step. It's about actively going towards what God has called us to go to and not just sitting. Jaden and I and Caleb and I have done a thing called Pass Through Fire, which is a rite of passage. It's a weekend experience, and it's a place where a young boy is brought into the fellowship of men and is acknowledged that he's now taking a step into manhood. But there's a place in that weekend. I'll give you an insider on the weekend. We're not allowed to really tell you about everything that happens there. But there's a moment where all of the fathers line up and the boys are given a blindfold. And the boys come to their dads and put the blindfold on their dad's eyes. And then they're not allowed to touch their dad in any way. And the leader says, "Follow me." And then the son has to say to the father, "A little bit left, a little bit right, go straight ahead." You can imagine it was a huge amount of fun with Jaden. Caleb, I was very, very happy. Jay's got a little bit of a Brian streak in him. So it was a tree branch or something. Okay, there's a tiny rock and he's like, "Whoa, the rock, step over the rock." And so I think my foot was most probably hovering in the air. Anyway, I still don't know because I never saw the rock. But there was a place where I had to trust his voice. I couldn't see where I was going, and I knew I needed to take the next step. And it's the same with us in our Christian faith. God is calling us to something. He doesn't say it's a big rock or, when it's a small rock, fortunately. But he calls us and he says, "Take that next step. Take the step. You can hear my voice. I'm not going to lead you into anything bad. I've got good things for you. Right now, take that step." What is that step that he's calling you to take? You know, your prayer today could change somebody's identity in the future. There might be somebody that you need to pray for that God will work in their lives because of the prayer that you will pray. Your prayer may change the political climate in our country. Often we pray for our country and I pray for our leaders. And you might think, "Yeah, we're just like 130 people or something. And this whole country, look what a mess it's in." Yeah, but I really believe God can do something. And I'm not going to stand back and wait for somebody to say, "Hey, we prayed for a year and this is what happened." I want to be a part of that moment where I can say as a church, "We've been praying for this. And now it's come to pass." Your prayer could be the prayer that launches somebody out of poverty. That launches somebody into ministry. That changes somebody's heart. Your prayer could be that. I really believe God is calling us to take some steps. Some of them are huge steps and some are little steps. And I don't think it happens once in your lifetime. Okay, I can guarantee you that God will call you more regularly than that. Possibly on a daily basis, God will say, "This is a step I want you to take for me." And we'll only know what's going to happen the moment we put our foot in the Jordan River. And it might be raging and flowing like crazy. God says, "Take that step." So that's my challenge this morning, is that we take some steps, that we don't just sit and wait for the paved highway to be in front of us, but that we say, "Lord, what is it that you're calling me to? What's the next thing?" And we take that step as he calls us. We know what his voice sounds like. We know when he's calling us to do something. It might be a small thing, praying quietly for somebody you see. It might be a big thing, praying for somebody in front of them. For me, the biggest moment is when I say to somebody that I just meet anywhere, and I say, and they're pouring out their heart, and I say, "Can I pray for you?" And they always say, "Oh, yes, please, Brian." And very often I'll pray for them right there and then, because they're expecting me to pray, because pastors always pray for hours for everybody, and they're expecting me to just add them to that list. But sometimes God wants us to take the step right then and there. So what is that step that God is taking you to now in your spiritual walk? What is the thing that he's asking you to do? Some big things, some small things, but we can't just stop. If you're not moving forward, you're stagnant. You're never going to see God doing miracles, doing amazing things if you don't take that step. Amen. That's good. You learned something from Andrew, hey? Let's stand up together quickly. Let's stand up together. And let's spend a moment just in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have given us awesome moments into people's lives as we go to your scriptures. Lord, as we see how you've worked in amazing ways, Lord, that as people are called by you and as they take the step, that you are faithful, that you're a good God, that you prepare the way for us, Lord, but you want us to walk in that way. So, Lord, I pray now that you will help us to be obedient to your voice. Lord, help us to know when you're calling us, when you're speaking to us. Help us to know that it's you, Lord. Prepare those moments, those God moments for us with other people. And Lord, as we hear your voice, and as we know that it is you that's calling us, Lord, help us to be obedient and take the step. Help us to say the words that you want us to say. Help us to do the things that you are calling us to do, Lord. Bless us now, we pray in your mighty name. Amen.